You're listening to the cycling podcast Femina, powered by Super Sapiens, energy management for committed athletes and coaches.
Ho, ho, ho!
Yeah.
Merry Christmas!
It's from Christmas. The cycling podcast Femina!
I'm Rose Manley, and I'm joined by my two little Christmas elves here, Orla and Lizzie Banks. Are you guys in the festive spirit at all yet?
Well, I am now, thanks to you, Rose.
Do you know what? I've been massively into Christmas this year, which sounds ridiculous, like it's something that I've only just discovered. But you know, some years, the build-up kind of passes you by, or you're kind of annoyed by it, you know? I purposely decided this year I was properly getting Christmassy, and I was going to be domesticated and bake things and cook things and just be really Christmassy. So I haven't baked anything, I haven't cooked anything, but I've got loads of lights everywhere and I'm lighting candles every single day, which is lovely.
Amsterdam in Christmas time must be beautiful.
It really is. Yeah, it's heartbreakingly gorgeous. So, yeah, feeling quite Christmassy now.
You're pretty good at baking and things, Lizzie, though. I'm sure there's a Christmas cake, is there?
Angling for one, Rose?
Well, we're actually going to the UK for the first time for Christmas for years. We usually go on a Christmas training camp for 2.5 weeks and escape the Christmas madness. But I'm not fit enough to go this year, so we're actually going back to the UK. So I'm actually looking forward to it because it'll be the first time that we've seen our families at Christmas for 5 years, I think. We're going back on Monday and I'm ready to get festive. But today I did 3.5 hours in the freezing rain, did actually feel remarkably festive, but not particularly fun.
Oh, with a Santa hat on, I hope, over the helmet.
No. I did see a few plastic reindeer though, so that'll do.
That would be a quick sleigh, actually. If you were pulling a sleigh, that would be
quick.
There
was snow.
That would be a quick sleigh.
Oh my goodness.
Well, it's hardcore. That's what it is.
I love how Orla's like all into Christmas and Lizzie's just like just really stretching for things that might be classed as festive, like snow.
That's quite Christmassy, Lizzie.
I'm not really a festive person, I'm afraid, but I'm going to try and be festive.
Okay, says the person who is literally wearing... You're wearing snowflakes on your jumper, Lizzie. You're actually the only person wearing a Christmas jumper.
You win already.
It's the warmest jumper I could find because I was so cold to my bones after getting in from my lovely festive ride in the beautiful Christmas snow.
There we go. We got there in the end.
There we have it. So, well, Christmas obviously means a Christmas quiz. That's coming up at the end of the show. But it also means, obviously, it's the end of the year, end of the season. So we're going to be picking out some of the moments of the cycling season that really meant something to us. But first, the news doesn't stop even at Christmas time, does it, Orla? So give us your news roundup.
It certainly doesn't. Can I, first of all, issue a bit of a disclaimer? As you both know, I've had a bit of a crazy week. And so this news roundup might be a little bit all over the place. And I might be a little bit all over the place. And I can't even blame like eggnog or Christmas punch since I don't drink. My son was in hospital all week. He's fine. He's had his appendix out. But it's just been a little bit more fraught than usual. So just gotten back from the hospital about an hour and a half ago. So if I forget anything, I know Lizzie is my safety net and she'll make sure that we'll have a complete news roundup between us. So it's all good. But yeah, we're a bit all over the place, but that is fine. I'm going to start off with Leah Thomas, who has quit Trek Segafredo with back pain. The US time trial champion has said she's taking extended time off the bike. She's had spinal surgery and she won't go back to Trek Segafredo for a second season. She put it all in a social media post and she says she hopes to be fully recovered in mid-2023, but hasn't confirmed her plans for then. So we wish her all the very best with whatever she does next and wherever her life takes her and with her recovery. Looking ahead to 2023, we will have the final expansion of the top division of women's racing. It's grown from 9 teams, of course, in 2021 to 14 last year. And now we have the full 15 from the 1st of January. So, Phoenix de Koninck our new name, our new team, formerly known as Plantier Pura, will be the 15th team in the Women's World Tour next season. The sister squad, of course, of the new Men's World Tour team, Alpe Sinterkönig. And they beat AG Insurance NXTG and Ceratizit WNT to the final place. So get used to seeing and hearing their name. Annemiek van Vleuten has won the first ever Women's Vélo d'Or Femme. Now, this is an award run by the French magazine Vélo, which is owned by the same company that runs the Tour de France, ASO. I'm a little bit hesitant to give this even airtime, which sounds terrible. She's obviously the most incredibly worthy winner, but I've got a bit of beef with Vélo d'Or Femme from the last couple of years, simply because Van Vleuten didn't even make it to the top 15, was it, last year? And so now they've started a women's category. Great, she's won it. But it's voted for by a panel of international journalists. And I remember being contacted by one of those journalists when I expressed my distaste, really, that Van Vleuten isn't higher up. And he told me that every single journalist on that panel has been male. And when he brought it to the organisers, they said that there simply wasn't the calibre of female journalists to include in the judging panel at the time. And that they were full.
Oh my
God. So they couldn't add another journalist. So he offered to give his place to one of the female journalists, and also offered a series of names that they might wish to consider if they thought there was a female journalist who might be worthy of deciding.
Isn't that a shame that the one decent journalist in that group actually relinquishes his spot?
Exactly.
That's so true, Lizzie.
Exactly. So anyway, I don't know if they've included women now in the list of international journalists who decide this, because obviously none of us are good enough. So who knows. But anyway, Annemiek van Vleuten has won a prize from them, so that's good, that's great, and well deserved, of course. Chloe Dygart, going back to news on injuries and illnesses, she's had surgery to treat, I'm going to get this wrong, supraventricular tachycardia, is that right? SVT.
Very good.
Much easier, which is a condition which causes episodes where the heart beats faster than usual. Now, I'd never heard of SVT before. She's called it annoying rather than life-threatening.
It's actually quite common.
Is it?
More common than you would think.
It sounds awful.
So Sophie Wright had the same procedure. She had an ablation. I think it was back in 2019, perhaps, or 2018, but it's not that uncommon. And like you say, it's not life-threatening, but it's something that you need to get sorted.
Yeah, because it can cause
cardiac
arrest.
I remember Sophie Wright saying because her heart rate would be going up to like 220, and it would be up there for like, you know, 5 minutes, which is just absolutely unheard
of. And then the risk is that you throw off a clot, and then, a clot can then move around your system, and that's obviously not good news. So, if it's something she was obviously experiencing and something that she needed to sort out, it seemed like a good time to have it, seeing as she was out of racing anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, good on her. Yeah, you say about the heart rate, Chloe's peaked at... She had a recent basic endurance ride, an easy one, she says, and this is the most recent episode of it, where her heart rate peaked at 219, sat at 205 for 5 minutes, and 195 for another 10 minutes. I mean, quite terrifying. But anyway, great, Lizzie, that you say not great that it's common, but obviously that it's not anything to be too concerned about. She's had her surgery, and we wish her all the best in her recovery. And Audrey Cordon-Rigaud has announced that she will ride for the new ZAF cycling team in 2023, following the collapse of the planned B&B Hotels, women's team. And ZAF cycling team have named a number of riders who had been linked with B&B Hotels. Cordon-Rigaud will be joined by Lucie Jounier, Canadian champion Maggie Coles-Leister, Heidi France, Michaela Drummond, and Elizabeth Stannard. So, of course, the PS to that story is the collapse of B&B Hotels. We'd all been hoping that Audrey Cordon-Rigaud would be headlining that new squad, that it would be a new outfit to contend with. But Jérôme Pinault, the former rider who had been running the squad and hoping to finance the whole operation, announced that all potential sponsors basically had fallen through, and the team, men's and women's team, will be no more. So as far as I understand, still riders... Chloe Dygart amongst them, wasn't she?
Chloe Hosking.
Chloe Hosking, sorry.
Yeah, So I spoke with one of the riders who was supposed to be on that B&B Hotels team, and I asked her what the situation was with riders looking for teams currently. And I asked her if she would be able to speak about what happened. And we understand that at the moment there are some legal proceedings that are happening. And so the rider couldn't say anything publicly yet. Hopefully they will be able to in the future. And that four of the riders from B&B Hotels team have been picked up by the ZAF cycling team. Mm-hmm. Two of the others have found home somewhere else. And six, including Chloe Hosking of most note, I guess, are still looking for teams, as I understand, as of a couple of days ago when I spoke to this rider. So it's a pretty horrible situation. They didn't know anything until a couple of hours before we knew everything in the press. They were still hoping it would all go through, and I think they were being sold the story that it was, you know, it was pretty much there. But unless you've got things signed on the dotted line, as I know, unfortunately, from experience of having teams folding as well, then unless it's signed and the deal is done, there is no deal. And so it's a very, very horrible situation for a number of riders looking for a team in December. And of course, with the news about Lacole Wahoo losing one of their major sponsors for 2023, that also put a number of other riders into the market. And then when you've got two teams worth of riders looking for a home, it's a pretty tricky situation.
It's really hard with it. I think with that B&B Hotels one as well, it is really difficult. I mean, I know Jérôme Pinault slightly, and he's always come across as a really, really decent chap, and nobody has much bad to say about him, you know, and I think he wanted the very best for the team. And it's really difficult, I guess, when you're trying to secure a sponsorship, how open and honest you can be about anything, because you're going to hope and have faith that the people who've come forward offering money will come through. If you start to alert riders to the danger that it might not happen, then the difficulty, the risk, is that they will look for contracts elsewhere if you don't then have those riders, and then you've got no chance of getting the money. So I feel like he was probably in a bit of a catch-22 situation as well, and relying on the word of businesses who then decided not to invest their money in it. I've got huge sympathy all round.
It is that thing that... It's one of the things that if it had gone well, or, you know, he managed that all of the potential sponsors he had actually managed to get, then, you know, we wouldn't even be considering this. Mm. It wouldn't be a story. We wouldn't know anything about it. So it's one of those, but it's one of those things in cycling, isn't it? That everything is kind of short term. Contracts are short term. You often hear about sponsors not necessarily pulling out early, or not necessarily honouring the things that they've actually signed up to do. It is just one of the, and it's not just a women's lack of professionalisation on the women's side of the sport. It is very much an issue for the men's side of the sport as well. Yeah. It's just that it's kind of, you can't build up a football team where you sell tickets and merchandise and things, so people are very reliant on sponsors, and then when that goes awry, then, you know, it jeopardizes the careers and livelihoods of many, many people, doesn't it?
Yeah,
I mean, I feel for every party in this, to be honest, and it's an incredibly difficult situation, and I have no doubt that Jérôme Pinault would have wanted it to work, and, you know, been holding out for it to work, and would have believed that it was still going to work out. Riders, I think it was the 12th of October when was the date when you were supposed to file the UCI. So every team has to file a huge file to the UCI with all of their documents for the year. And I think it's around the 12th of October that has to be filed in order for the next season, to go through for their kind of the first deadline. And I think I understand once that deadline has passed, riders are actually contractually free to look for another team. But the news was then, well, we're looking for a sponsor and the UCI have extended our deadline. And then the UCI extended their deadline again to the 30th of November. And so it's a difficult situation as a rider. Do you then continue to believe in the team, or do you start looking early? And I think there are a couple of transfers. I wondered about the late transfer of Lizzie Holden to Team UAE ADQ, whether that was a kind of B&B Hotels warning sign, this isn't going to happen, I'm going to go and do the transfer now, because it depends on the rider's agent. You know, if the rider has an agent, then they would maybe have flagged this up and say, look, this is a warning sign. Legally, you can get out of this contract because they haven't done what they're required to do in order to go ahead for the 2023 season. But, you know, riders without contracts perhaps wouldn't have known that and would have been in this situation where they were just hoping and hoping and hoping. And then suddenly it's the 1st of December and they don't have a contract for the next year.
Yeah, well, best of luck to all the riders still trying to find contracts anyway. And the last maybe little bit of news that I have before I find out what I've left off is that Lizzie Deignan has announced her return to racing, her planned return to racing for May of next year after having her second child. So she is currently, as we understand it, fitting in endurance training with breastfeeding baby Shay, and is hoping to be back to competition by May, which is just wonderful. I just love it. And she's been quite openly saying that she hopes to be a role model to other riders, or she's been reported as saying it, I guess, other riders who would like to juggle their careers with motherhood. And what better way to do that? Best of luck to her. What have I missed, Lizzie?
all I was going to actually say is on the Lacole Wahoo story, we were going to mention that because one of their big potential title sponsors had pulled out. But the only thing I can say is there is good news to come for them. So I know a lot of the riders have already left and got contracts elsewhere for next year, but there's good news to come for them, which is a heartening Christmas story, isn't it?
Or the tease of one anyway. That's good enough.
Yes,
like a Christmas tease.
Still guessing on fueling? Not sure what or when to eat or drink on rides that matter? Never again. Optimize your fueling strategy with real-time glucose data, actionable insights, and personalized analytics. We're here to help you achieve your performance goals. Go to supersapiens.com for more on how to track your energy levels and fuel for success.
Well, thank you very much to Super Sapiens, title sponsors of the Cycling podcast. If you want to find out more about how their system of continuous glucose monitoring can help tailor your fueling and training for success, then head to, come on, you must know this by now, supersapiens.com. Well, we were going to, in this episode, each pick out a highlight from the season, but then when we were on our WhatsApp chat beforehand, it turns out that we pretty much all have the same kind of highlights. And our top highlight was going to be, of course, the inaugural Tour de France Femmes. Now, Orla, was there a particular moment from this momentous race that really caught your attention?
There was, and it wasn't actually necessarily related to any of the riders in particular or any specific racing moment. I can't remember if I've mentioned this on this podcast before, and I apologize if I have, but it's just been my highlight of the whole year, really, in terms of sport. And it's this little girl who was on the final climb on La Planche des Belles Filles, and she was at a specific point in the camera angles where there was one camera pointing up the way towards the finish, towards the top of the hill, and one pointing down. And she was caught in that crossroads, if you like. So she was caught on both camera angles. And it meant that I, anyway, saw an awful lot of her. I just noticed her because she had this like big log ponytail coming out of her cap. And she was on the right-hand side at the moment where we're coming up to the crucial bit of La Planche des Belles Filles. And it seemed to be her little friend beside her. She was maybe 10 or 11. And the reason that she caught my eye was because I just realised, I put myself in that moment as I was watching it in the studio and thinking about whoever it was, whichever parent presumably had walked her up to the top of La Planche des Belles Filles that day. And she was so excited and her head kept flicking left to right, left to right, left to right, following the riders and trying to keep up with the action. And I just realised how much effort would have gone into the parents setting out the night before and deciding what time they were going to leave to get up to get their prime spot and packing a packed lunch maybe and taking drinks and sunscreen and making sure they had decent shoes on to walk up and working out where to park and all the rest of it. And she then was enjoying just a full day of sport. And for her, she will never ever know, not, or at least not live, a reality where that isn't normal. That for her was simply going to watch women's racing. And as I watched that in the studio, I've never actually cried by watching racing. I've never been overwhelmed to that extent. And as I started saying to the two Dannys who were with me and Adam, and I was saying, like, can you appreciate this? Can you appreciate that we did not have this? We did not have female role models or sporting heroes outside of the Olympics. We didn't have this visibility, never mind being able to watch it in person just by the side of the road, and the best riders in history, never mind in the world. And it was just, I just find it so emotional and so powerful. And I have been doubtful as to whether the Tour de France fam was necessary. And in that moment, I realized exactly what it was about and exactly why it mattered. And the racing was spectacular. The riders put on an incredible show. The race organizers put on an incredible route. But really, it's that exposure. It's changing society. It's giving little girls heroes of their own to cheer for. And I found it so overwhelming and reminded me exactly what sport is all about and exactly why I've always loved it. But as a kid, I could only cheer men's teams. And now my kids, both my girl and my boy, have women's teams and female athletes to cheer. And for me, that was the absolute standout, maybe of my sporting coverage ever, that little girl by the side of the road.
No, I have to say, I was like you, Orla. I was kind of a bit of a skeptic, really, about whether we needed a Tour de France fam at all, because we have all these other races that are, you know, powerful, momentous. We already have these riders who are great heroes, great role models. You know, did we really need this very specific, particular platform, this very specific jersey? But then when I was there through the week, it really felt different. It felt like it had such a... the importance of it, you know, it sent shockwaves through, you know, sports fans everywhere. People were wanted to see it. And hopefully, I mean, time will tell, I guess, whether that those fans who watch the Tour de France Femme will then, you know, also watch all the other races that we have on the calendar. But it felt really powerful to be there as well. And Lizzie, what did you have a highlight from the Tour de France fan? Was it a racing one, or was it just the emotion of having this race finally on our calendar?
I mean, firstly, I have to say I agree wholeheartedly with everything that Orla was saying, and I think that's why it's such an important catalytic moment. I think I've always believed that the Tour de France fan was necessary, very necessary, in order for our sport to progress. And just as you were talking, Rose, it made me think back to, you know, why does the Tour de France transcend sport? How does the Tour de France transcend sport? Well, I remember when I was going over to my friend's house as a teenager, and, you know, he didn't really have any interest in cycling, but he had an interest in sport, and he was watching the Tour de France, and Lance Armstrong was cycling up, and, oh, look at this great cyclist, and he's winning all these Tours de France. And I still knew what that was. I didn't know what was going on, but I still knew what the Tour de France was. And at that point, you know, as a young teenager, I had no interest in watching sport other than the Olympics, but I still knew about the Tour de France. And my highlight was actually also on the last day on La Planche de Belfi, and we were reporting, Rose, you were at the side of the rose, I was sending you text updates of everything that was going on, and we were sort of doing a live commentary on the race. And, you know, there was this huge build-up before the Tour de France, and everybody was saying how great it was going to be, but there was this huge pressure that it had to be really great. And we got the first stage underway, and it was like, whew, thank God people actually turned up. And then Marianne Vos went and won the second stage, and then she was in the yellow jersey, and you have this absolute icon, the best rider of all time, out and out, without a doubt, male or female, in the yellow jersey. Incredibly iconic image. And then as the week went on, it just built and it built, and more people came to watch, more and more people lined the streets. The riders couldn't believe it. The world's media was just absolutely going crazy for it. You know, Twitter was filled with news about women cycling, and it wasn't just because it was the Tour de France. The stories coming out of it were just so great. They were so exciting. Everybody wanted to know what was going on. Everybody wanted to listen to our podcast about the Tour de France, of course.
Bien sûr.
And then you have this incredible climax on the Planche de Belfi. You have Annemiek van Vleuten, the best stage racer in the world, in the yellow jersey, winning solo, going up this incredible mountain that is so steep that next to her, the motorbike falls over to a stop.
I forgot.
And she wins, and she almost collapses at the end because she's just so exhausted. And it was only at that point that Annemiek van Vleuten quite realized, I think, how important the Tour de France femme was for women's sport. And it was just the culmination of everything, and how successful it was, and how beautiful it was, and how hard it was, and all of the stories that came out of it. And then when we were talking about it on the Planche de Belfi commentating live, and I was watching the TV, and then suddenly I could hear the race going past you. I wasn't there, but I felt like it was there. Yeah. I was there. And that is what is so important, when you can get so drawn into the race, because there is good media, because you can watch it, because then you can listen about it afterwards. You can, everything you can do for a whole week, it just absorbs you. Just every fiber of you is the Tour de France fan. And I felt like I was there. I felt the blood of the Tour de France fam in my veins, and that's why that moment was so special for me.
Woo-hoo! And we should, you know, say huge commendation, of course, to the riders for racing it the way that they raced it. I mean, I think when they were setting out there'd be this Tour de France fam, they couldn't have asked for a better list of winners. I mean, to have Lorena Wiebes, the, you know, the best sprinter win, to have Marina Vos, the greatest of all time, to win, to have Cecily Ludwig, who's like this huge, passionate, you know, fan favourite that everybody loves, to have Marlon Reusser, to have, you know, an escapee at the end, get away, make a success of it, and of course to have Van Vleuten, who is, you know, the best stage racer. You know, we have to give huge praise. Obviously, the route was designed perfectly to kind of create good racing, but it's the riders that really did it. And they really put on a show for all of us, didn't they?
And we have to thank Annemiek van Vleuten for having a stomach upset as well, I think.
She kept the jeopardy alive to the very end. Thank you for having a stomach bug, Annemiek.
No, it was brilliant. I mean, it just added, you know, intrigue and interest to a story, and you would have never, you could have never ever written that. You know, the top stage racer in the world comes in under, not undercooked, but just not right, and we didn't know what was going on until suddenly she stopped by the side of the road unexpectedly for a toilet break. And it was only later at the end of that stage that we actually really found out what was going on, when she sort of had to tell everybody else, and she had to say, well, actually I've been feeling unwell, but thankfully I'm feeling a bit better. So yeah, thanks Annemiek. Thanks Annemiek for having a stomach bug.
Well, of course, the Cycling Podcast Féminin has lasted for many, many years, Orla, since when you and Richard started off years ago. And we didn't have the Tour de France fam then. So there's plenty of other racing that happened this year. So we shouldn't just concentrate on one single race that happened. Lizzie, now I know what you're going to say is one of your other highlights was, because it's also the same highlight as I had, and that was the finale of the women's tour this year. Tell us why that kind of caught your eye.
Well, the women's tour, firstly, has always been a race close to my heart, because it's the race that I watched thinking, that is how I'm going to become a professional cyclist, and that is the race that I'm going to do, and one day I'm going to win it, and still I hope that one day I will win it. But it was an exhilarating race with a brilliant finale. And we've been wanting this race to be live for years. And finally, we got a live stream. And I really think that was a big catalyst for change in this race. And then within the race, you had this great story of this rivalry between Grace Brown and Elisa Longo Borghini, who were absolutely fighting neck and neck for the win. Grace Brown won stage four, then Elisa Longo Borghini won stage five, and they went into the final stage, stage six, on tied on time, with Grace Brown in the lead on count back. Now, Grace Brown thought she had it in the bag, and she very almost did, until Trek did a just sensational late lead out through the twisting, turning last kilometers through the streets of Oxford. And somehow Elisa Longo Borghini was third on the line on the final stage behind Lorena Wiebes, who took the win. And that tells you what sort of finish it was. And she took one bonus point to clinch the overall lead at the end. And I think one of the reasons why this makes it one of my favorite moments is not just because of the drama, but also because I was on the ground at that race. And so I was there with the public in Oxford, and they were able to watch this live stream, so excited, and then see the riders come through. And then afterwards, and this is the great thing about cycling, you can go and see your heroes. You know, it's 200 meter walk, and there was Grace Brown just in shock at what had happened. She found out very quickly that Elisa Longo Borghini had got that second and won. And I remember interviewing her just after, and all credit to her, she was incredibly gracious. But it was just a great event, and I am so glad that he's taken that step up to have live coverage. And I think that that's just brilliant for the event and for women's cycling as a whole.
I love that moment too, because it was so surprising. No one's thinking Elisa Longo Borghini, who is a fantastic climber, a great stage racer, is going to be up there in a sprint. Certainly FDJ and Grace Brown weren't expecting that to happen, otherwise they might have played it slightly differently. But it just was that perfect little moment when you can see that, you know, that is what women's racing is about. I'd like to say it's what all cycling is about, but there's a plenty of races on the men's side where, you know, you don't get that kind of excitement and upset. And for me, it really crystallized what cycling is to me. You know, it's exciting, it's thrilling, you know, you think it's going to go one way and it goes another. And I thought it was just a really special moment to witness Elisa Longo Borghini, the sprinter, the birth of Elisa Longo Borghini, the sprinter, and for her to take the win. But I mean, it's been a fantastic season, hasn't it? I know, Liz, you mentioned the Lotta Kopecky winning in Strade Bianche was also a highlight, you know, seeing these other names come to the fore, because, you know, we did think at one point without Anna van der Breggen being racing this season, you know, where would we see the rivalries and where would we see the names and where would we see the victories going? But Ola, it's, you know, it has been just if in some ways more exciting, because, you know, you have less sure winners,
So. I mean, we say less sure winners, and yet Annemiek van Vleuten has won all of them. Not quite. I find it a really, really exciting season, and I love, as you mentioned, Lizzie, in our WhatsApp group, you'd said about Lotta Kopecky winning Strade Bianche, and Annemiek van Vleuten and Lotta Kopecky together have provided me with two of my standout highlights of this year. Just two of the greatest sporting moments when Lotta Kopecky, and two moments as well that got me screaming out of my seat, because I was in disbelief almost when you're going up that last climb in Strade Bianche. And Annemiek van Vleuten is there. She's won it. She hasn't won it. Oh my God, it's Lotta Kopecky. And it was just, I couldn't believe it. And the very same at the World Championships at the end of the year. Absolutely, Annemiek van Vleuten was never going to take that win in a million years. And then won in a completely exceptional way, even for Annemiek van Vleuten, with poor Lotta Kopecky then finishing in second that time around. But those two finishes for me were about, like, I've got goosebumps even thinking about both of them. They're about the most exciting finishes that I can think of in cycling, men's or women's, and not just this year. I think we've had some incredible standout moments, and it's been a thorough bloody privilege from start to finish, genuinely, this year.
But Ola, it wasn't just the finish. I mean, you say that they were remarkable finishes, but I mean, that World Championships
all
race,
the way through,
that was from the off. That was just so animated, so dynamic. And, you know, for it to have gone to Annemiek van Vleuten, who's, you know, such a worthy champion in the end, is fantastic. But, you know, it really looked like it was going to go somewhere else, didn't it? I mean, Leanna Lippert was just on song there, wasn't she?
It was such a crazy race. And you know, we heard from Niamh Fisher-Black in the last episode, and just one thing that she said to me really stayed in my mind, because she was on Annemiek's wheel and she said she looked a mess. You know, her elbow was just... I know. And honestly, when she said
You should fear that. You should fear that, though. If she looks like she's a mess, you should be really scared then. That's the message,
And she said she just never in a million years considered that Annemiek would be able to win it. And that's why Annemiek van Vleuten is the most sensational athlete, because even when you completely, we have finally learned never write her off, but even when you think there is no way that she can do this, and you know, this goes back to Omloop Het Nieuwsblad, you know, it was Demi Vollering and it was Annemiek van Vleuten coming into the sprint, and we all thought that Demi Vollering was going to win, because Demi Vollering had been on Annemiek van Vleuten's wheel for about 10 kilometers. She was just driving it. And we thought, well, Demi's got this in the bag. She's, you know, on paper, she's by far the best sprinter. And then Annemiek just comes from, and I mean, not from nowhere, but I mean, I don't know how she did it. And she just sprints.
Well, she came from
faster.
The front all the way along, didn't she?
Yeah, she just, if in doubt, lead it out. And that is what she did. And she,
but
it was another just Lizzie, sensational
Demi
win.
Demi Vollering's face. Yeah. Do you remember? I mean, this is also like this is, you know, when you should be at your kind of freshest coming into a race. And Demi Vollering's face being, you know, stuck in Anna Meek's wheel and just feeling like, I can't take a turn. No. I can't come around this person.
No, and she knew was just going to blow if she came off the wheel. So, I mean, obviously she had teammates behind, but it was more than that. It was that she simply couldn't. And she said afterwards in the interviews there was a side wind. So, you know, really she wasn't getting as much benefit as it looked like, but she was still behind. I guess, yeah, never write Anna Meek off. Never write her off, because she's a sensational athlete and she will surprise you when you least expect it.
I do love that as well. I love that she still manages to surprise us. I love that there are occasions where we've thought there's just no way she can win this, and yet she still wins it. So will her final year finally be the year where we just expect... I mean, I don't want to expect her to win everything, of course, but she'll manage to keep surprising us, and that in itself is a surprise. How many tricks does a magician have, you know? Let's see, 2023.
Yes. It's that time again. It's Christmas quiz time. I'm doing my own.
I know.
Weeping.
I realize you. I realize you're building up. That was very much an intonation that was inviting a whoop. So I thought I would indulge.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, no,
you're
thank
very
you,
welcome.
No, Lizzie's just all in.
I'm just
Lizzie's
concentrating,
all in for
Rose.
It.
I'm concentrating. Okay. I need my one win for 2022.
Oh no, Lizzie! Come on. Well, shall we get straight to it? The first round.
Thank you very much. I can see if it wins any year. Sorry, right, go ahead.
First round is called More or Less. So I'm going to give a question and it's going to have... the first one you can guess what the answer is. And then after that, you have to say whether the next question is more or less than the previous one.
I think it's going
to
be a second.
It'll
and
make
see.
Sense when
yeah,
we get
okay,
going.
Let's see what. Yeah, go.
Yeah. Okay, so Voss stage wins at the Giro d'Italia / Giro Rosa ever.
Oh, sweet mother. Oh.
Oh, no, I'll start with a number. The number I'm going to start with
is
25.
Oh, I know what the answer is.
And then you say it's more or less. Okay. Oh.
Okay.
Or it says more.
More. But then can we do a number? Because I think I know the answer.
Oh,
okay,
smug.
I know the ballpark, but... I guess
Lizzie, you've gone hard on this one.
No, but then we can go who gets closest. But Ola, you can go first because I don't want you to steal my... Because, you know, I'm...
Wait!
Hang on a minute. You just suggested you're going to do something and then put me in it.
No, I think I know the answer, so I don't want you to go first.
Lizzie, you have to...
No, you go. Because... You say your
answer. You have to go first, Lizzie.
I'll say more or less.
I'm afraid, Lizzie, you have to go first. You've roped us into this, so you're going first, Lizzie.
And also, I can't nick it if you say it first.
35.
Okay, 35. Interesting. Ola, would you like to give a number?
I think it's 35 too. So I'm going to have to go. Do I have to give a number or say more or less?
No, you have to give a number because we've both said more.
To be honest, Ola, I haven't thought through
that far. Because
this is
now made up.
We've
gone into improv
question
territory.
One in yes, go on, give us
I'll
a number.
Go.
And you don't get a bonus. If you're not bang on, you don't
fine.
Get it. That's what I'm
going to say. I'll go 37, but I think it's 35.
You're both wrong. It's 32.
Oh, okay, but we won anyway. This is the win-win because it was said
so
more.
She added... Yes, okay. So that kind of wipes the slate clean. So less mutiny, please, on this festive quiz. I'm not prepared for
more
it.
More authority then, Rose.
Yes, oh yeah, maybe I should. Okay, so the next question. More or less, the number of letters in the longest name... of the women's world teams.
As in person's name?
No. The longest team name, sorry. Longest team name. I've just realised that I haven't actually bothered writing it down. So I'm just...
I'm going to go shorter. Less.
Okay, less.
Than 32.
Lizzie? Letters. 32 letters long.
English.
Okay, so less says Orla. Lizzie.
Less, because I think that FDJ Nouvelle Aquitaine for Screw. Oh no, because it might be Roland Kojas.
You can't count them. Lizzie, give us an answer, please.
Oh, less.
You both said less. You're both correct.
What?
It is less.
The number of letters is 26 letters in Roland Kogius Edelweiss squad.
Okay.
I was seeing if you might forget.
I want
that
a
one.
Bonus point remembering that they were the one with the longest name.
Lizzie, less of the bonus
Lizzie, can
points.
I ask?
We
can
just
I ask?
Don't have the
when
time.
When you say you haven't been with family for Christmas for 5 years, is that out of choice or have they banned you because of your approach to Christmas quizzes? If they listen to this episode, it might be 6 years without spending Christmas with your family.
Okay, so the number in mind, everybody, is 26. Okay, so... And we want quick answers here. The number of riders with the word van in their surname among the world teams, the 14 world, you know, the world teams, the top teams. So 26. Orla?
Less.
Yes, correct. Less. God, ooh. No flies on you guys. There is actually, and this surprised me, only six.
Wow.
Oh,
van
wow.
Which is very low.
Van der Geloof.
Oh no, because they're
she's not world tour.
Not a world.
Oh, she's not women's
yes.
world tour. Yeah.
And the others were anyway. Van der Broek Black, Van Anroy, Van den Bos, and Van der Hulst.
Wow.
So those are the
very good.
Those are the six.
So six. Okay.
Okay, this is a very intellectual
more.
Question. The number of nails that Lorena Wiebes painted yellow at the Tour de France Femme. So she had all her nails painted, I'll give you that for free. But how many were yellow nails? And six is the number that we're working with.
Probably less.
You're going both, for less?
You saying... Are you saying less?
I'm going for less.
Lizzie's going for more.
No, I've gone for less. I'm just trying to get all the stuff.
Oh, you've both
more.
Gone for less.
Because she had five. Okay. She had five yellow, five green.
Well, it was less, so you're both right. This is just not the competition that I'm looking for here. It was four yellow on one hand, four green on the other, and her fourth fingers were a kind of brownish colour.
Hang on, do I get a bonus
bronze.
Point? I said four.
We're not.
No
weird.
Bonus
that's
points.
Just, no,
Orla, were you not
we're
listening?
Not, we're just not stepping down.
I'm taking an honorary bonus point for that.
Okay, here we go. Last question.
In my head, right.
So four is
if
the number we're working
back,
with.
I should get that. Okay, go.
The number of people it took to open the winner's champagne bottle at Le Samin. So it was Emma Norsgaard, including Emma Norsgaard, was the winner, and she was trying to open her bottle of champagne. Four is the number that we're working with. Was it more people or less people than that?
So I'll go more. I'll go,
I think you're trying to catch us out, and I think it's the same. Because I think it was three on
the
podium plus one person from a helper.
Okay. Orla, you're saying...
Okay, I've gone more. I've gone five.
Okay. We have a winner now. Thank God. Because I've got no more questions on this round.
It's Orla.
And the winner is... Orla, the answer was
yay!
Five people. You almost remembered
Orla.
It perfectly, Lizzie. It was the...
oh, Lizzie. I've never
It's not
seen
over. It's not over
reason.
Yet. It's not over.
It's not. That's only one round.
It was. That was one round.
I'm going to do a Van
Vleuten. It was indeed...
Yeah, I'll take that, though.
Oh, I see. You're just moving into it.
This is just the first climb. This is just when we expected you to go in.
At the end, Orla's going to go. She looked a complete mess.
Late
I
mess.
Never.
No, I have to say, Lizzie, you did remember it almost perfectly. It was the three riders on the podium trying to do the bottle, plus two podium officials who came over to help Emma Norsgaard open her winner's champagne. So there we have Brilliant. A winner for round one, and that is Orla.
Whoop, whoop.
Congratulations.
But will she...
Thank you. I'll take that.
Will she carry on winning into our next round, which is...
I thought you're building up this drama.
I know, what? So building up the drama
you're
slash
trying to
find my notes.
Yeah.
For the next round, we call this one... Winner, Winner, Garden Strimmer. This is I was desperate to do a motto or notto this year, but I found that all of the teams have stopped doing their hashtags and their funny mottos
apart from Canyon SRAM, actually. They still have Breakaway to challenge, which is great, but...
I think you shamed them out of it.
I know, I feel a bit like that.
Featuring in Moto or Noto, that they all decided to change their branding strategies.
I've bitten the hand that feeds me. I know, I really have. And now I've got nothing. But winner, winner, gone, Strimmer. So we've got five races, and I'm going to give you options, and you guys have to tell me... Okay. What out of the four options the rider won. Okay, let's go. So the Ronde du Mouscron won by Talita de Jong. Did she win A, an annual family pass for Plopsaland, which is a Belgian theme park, in case anyone's wondering. Not toilet themed, surprisingly. B, a pair of ornamental ceramic horses. C, a 6-foot sausage. Or D, a life-size chicken made out of chocolate. So, I guess...
I love how all of these are entirely plausible.
No, that's what's awful about cycling. It could be all of them.
I'm gonna go. Lizzie, are you Googling?
No, I'm trying to remember. Oh! I was it was just so funny when you said
Lizzie,
ceramic horses.
You can't have this.
I'll show you what I'm Googling because I was there you go, so you'll believe me now. I was given on the podium at Touring and Runfart a salt and pepper shaker with the heads of Goethe and Schneller. two German people of historical note, who I'm afraid I can't actually remember who they are. And it was just so funny to have these salt and pepper shakers of these historical German figures. So I had no idea who they were.
Do you still have them?
I gave them to my father-in-law, who thought they were just brilliant.
Do you hate your father-in-law?
No, he has a collection of all sorts of bizarre items like this. But anyway, I'm going to go for Plopsaland.
Okay, an annual family pass for Plopsaland. All of you're saying a 6-foot sausage.
6-foot sausage.
I can tell you that it was, in fact,
chocolate chicken,
the
isn't it?
Chocolate chicken. Oh, it was the chocolate chicken, ladies. I'm sorry.
Okay.
No That's points fine. There, all square. The Ronde van Drenthe, which is actually famous for its winners' prizes, I would say. You often hear about what they've won. Won by Lorena Vibus this year. Did she win a deep fat fryer, a meat mincing machine, a pineapple coring device, or a tube of shower cubicle sealant?
I think it's funny because there's one.
This
van
is like going through one of those homeware magazines Drenthe that come through your letterbox.
And Drenthe also has bizarre prices, and I think they usually win. I think I even said prices, which is what the Euros always say when they mean prizes. They say, "Ah, I won these prices." And I think you win a bike at Drenthe, and it's like a bike. Sorry, at Drenthe, you win a bike and a toaster or something. So I'm going to go for fryer.
I think deep fat fryer. I would have thought air dryer, to be honest, but I'll go for deep fat.
Yeah,
fryer.
I thought it was air fryer as well, but maybe it is deep fat fryer.
Oh my god, there's too much knowledge here. I don't know what an air fryer is.
It's like
but
a little.
You are both correct.
I've actually got one.
There's
on
a good
counter.
Chance that you two are correct and I am wrong because I don't know what an air fryer is. But yes, a fryer of unknown.
It was an air fryer, definitely an air fryer.
How do you know that? That's ridiculous.
Because it's the thing these days, isn't it? An air fryer.
I've actually got one.
Dryer,
I've got one there. Not... It's on the.
It's frying
it
with,
the
with minimal oil. Oh,
they're brilliant. You can heat your mince pies up in them. You know, it's far more efficient than using the oven.
Wow.
You can cook anything in them. They're absolutely brilliant. Uses very minimal amount of fat and cooks it very well, and if you just want to heat up something, much more efficient.
Lizzie, if you just only made a better effort in the Ronde van Drenthe, then you'd have a chance of owning two air fryers.
I will try my hardest next year.
Yes, please do. Okay, so on to the next. The Lotto Belgium Tour, the green jersey winner, this is, Ali Wollaston. Did she win... I have remembered the answer. Okay, A... a crate of leeks, B, 8 kilos of dry dog food, C, Johan Museu's biography,
or D, a year's supply of lint rollers?
I think I know the answer, so I'm going to let Ola go first.
Okay, so I'm going to say a crate of leeks.
I think it was the dog food. But, you know, maybe you'd need the lint rollers if you had the dog food, because, you know, then you'd need to get the dog hair off your clothes. So. But I think the dog food.
The answer was indeed 8 kilos of dry dog food. Well done, Lizzie.
What if you didn't have a dog?
I think she...
No, I know. I don't...
Oh, no. I think she gave it to a teammate who had a dog or something like that.
Wow.
But crate of leeks
sometimes
is a solid cycling answer,
isn't it?
Cycling
is a bit shit, isn't it? I mean, really, if you're looking for a career to aspire to, you know?
The dog food.
If I'd been given 8 kilos of cat food on the podium, I'd be absolutely delighted, to be honest.
Yeah, well, but it wasn't, was it? It was dog
not
food.
As happy as my
you wouldn't be
cat,
so happy with but, that. Yeah.
Yeah. So you're not interested in the dog food, but you might be interested in the prizes on offer at the Easy Toys Bloyzone Friesland Tour. Oh, I can hear the laughter already. And that was won by Ellen Van Dyke this year. So what did Ellen win? Did she win a stuffed aardvark?
It's one way
Barbie
to put it.
a Barbie Malibu dream house. C, 4 dozen eggs, or D, a vibrator.
Absolutely no doubt about this one whatsoever. It was the vibrator.
In addition, with a lot of other of Easy Toys's very useful products for women and men
all sorts
the globe.
Of solo fun. Oh yeah, yeah, true. Yeah, that was definitely the vibrator, wasn't it? I don't know which make. If we're going to be that specific,
probably
Easy Toys, mate, I guess.
I think Easy Toys.
Yeah, but
I'm
sure they've got different kinds of.
Yes,
anyway.
No, that's true. But well done. I mean, we're going up against two total pros here, indeed. It was a vibrator that Ellen Van Dyke won, alongside, as you said, Lizzie, some blindfold and some other. Personal accoutrements, we'll say. But okay, this is so we've got so Lizzie is 1 point ahead, and we're going into the last question.
Mm-hmm. I should have gone for chocolate chicken and knew it.
Winner, winner, garden strimmer, and that is the Lotto Turingen Tour, which was won by Alex Manley. Did she win a litre beer glass in the shape of a boot? B, a blue metre-tall stuffed dinosaur toy. C, a basket containing 17 different types of nougat products. Or D, all of the above.
Oh, all of the above.
Yeah.
She's going all of the above.
All of the above.
What are you going for?
All of the above.
Yeah, but Lizzie's done that to deadlock it because she knows that she's got
no,
the win in her
no,
grass.
No, because I've been to Turingen.
I should have let you go first.
And like I said before, I've won a Goethe and Schnelle set of
salt and pepper shakers.
With ceramic heads. And I know that you win the boot because everybody on the podium has one of these glass litres of beer boot. Things I haven't explained that very well, but it's brilliant. I really want to win one, and you get to have your beer on the podium every day, and you also get some other bizarre.
You have your beer, you tuck
prizes.
Your dinosaur under your arm, you eat your nougat.
Well, that's the
off.
Thing. I know what that race is like, and I have this weird memory of some sort of big toy, and so I'm pretty sure it's all of the above.
It is indeed all of the above, Lizzie. You take round two. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
So we've got a dead heat.
I'll do a Lizzie here. Congratulations, Lizzie.
We'll be back for round three after this.
The cycling podcast Femina is supported by Science in Sport. Science in Sport, fueled by science.
Thank you very much to longtime sponsors of the cycling podcast, Science in Sport. If you're looking for any sports nutrition and with New Year's resolutions on the horizon, then it's a great time to head to scienceinsport.com and get 25% off all of your sports nutrition needs with the code SISCP25. Well, I've just left you guys all on a cliffhanger because we have our final round, and it is indeed
like the end of an episode of Neighbours.
Cryptic criterion. Ooh. Ollie, you're ruining the quiz vibe.
Sorry.
It's a cryptic criterion. Now, needs no explanation. And this is good because this is like the experience of Orla with the passion of Lizzie. Because I know Lizzie's quite passionate about these cryptic criteriums. So we'll see.
In my experience has generally been in losing the cryptic criterion, however.
Oh, right.
But yeah, I'm ready.
You had bad tactics and Richard had brilliant tactics. So.
Yeah, exactly. I know.
That's true.
I'm going to channel Richard's tactics.
That's all
alert. Yeah. Oh, what? Be silent.
Keep quiet. Wait, Orla say the answer.
Will I work out the answer slowly but audibly?
Yeah. I mean, Richard's tactics didn't make for great listening, to be honest, but it did make for great winning. So
let's be honest, that's all that matters.
We'll see how this one plays out. Okay, are you ready?
As will ever be.
Half blind underground mammal, half adult male.
Ashley Milman Passio.
Yeah!
I was thinking of Malcolm Molymer, and I was like, no, it can't be Malcolm Molymer.
Orla taking the lead.
Oh, I thought that was it.
But did you hear how...
That was really fast. That was incredibly impressive.
Thank you.
Very good. She says with gritted teeth.
No, I'm genuinely impressed. You've been working on your speed skills.
And my shutting up.
Okay, number two. Small American police horse.
Hmm.
So you need to separate American police and small horse, I would say, to make this one. American police officer, what they might be called, plus a small horse.
Capone? So. Clara Capone.
Yes!
Capone!
Yes. Well done, Lizzie!
What?
Capone. Cop. Pony.
Pony. I gone full Canadian. I was like, what's a Yankee?
I've just been in America, so maybe I had an advantage, but I was thinking of like sheriff somebody, which didn't work.
What do you call a Canadian mountain
sheriff
police?
Horse?
Mountie,
not a Yankee. I was thinking Yankee pony.
She hasn't got many results.
Yankee pony is joining in 2023.
I think that's a good name, Yankee Pony. And you can easily make it into a song. Yankee Pony went to town riding on a Yankee Pony.
Yeah, but that's
okay, let's get on with the quiz.
Oh dear, right. Okay. That started so well.
Okay. Number three. Yeah. Relation of Jack who could eat no fat, his wife could eat no lean.
I don't know what that means. Relation.
Jack, who could eat no fat, his wife could eat no lean.
Is this like a riddle or a poem or a? Or are we supposed to know?
It's a nursery rhyme, an old nursery rhyme.
And I'm supposed to know the rest of it.
I got part of it.
You're meant to know the word after Jack something.
Black.
It's Jack. Ooh, you're not that far off actually.
Jack.
Who could eat no fat, his wife could eat no lean.
And what was the other bit?
Relation. It's just a relation of this person, so the same surname as Jack.
The same surname as Jack.
Who could eat no fat.
Oh.
Because it's a nursery rhyme, the rhyming might help
you.
Yeah,
that's what I'm thinking.
Jack.
Oh, Spratcher. Spratty.
I said the full name. Does that not count? And before, no.
I think that, to be honest, it came through, I don't know what it, because obviously to the listeners, we'll be in perfect sync. But to me, you both said it at the same time on here.
Okay, well, we call that a draw.
I'm going to have to call that a draw. Amanda Spratt, because it's Jack Spratt. Oh, Jack.
Wouldn't that be nice if we just drew and we could both win, Orla?
Because I'm sure that neither of us really wants to win outright.
No, but the other thing is more that neither of us want to lose.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay, number four.
How many are there?
There's five. Okay. Actor Pitt, of Mr. and Mrs. Smith fame, has a small fruit named after him.
What? Small fruit. Mandarin.
Neve Bradbury.
Who?
Yes, Bradbury.
Yes.
Neve Bradbury. Brad, the Brad. Berry. Brad Pitt, Berry, a small
cherry.
Fruit.
Brad Cherry. Not quite seeing.
Brad Cherry.
Yeah, Brad Cherry. I could have said that quickly and pretended it was my accent. Oh, well. Less of or the connection.
Always blame the accent.
Well, it gets me into enough trouble, so might as well use it to my advantage whenever I can. Right, so okay, I'm fighting for a draw.
You're fighting for a draw here, Orla. Okay. And
or is it like a points race
win?
And there's double points on the line?
Oh, let's do it. Double points on the line.
Basically, so winner takes it all now.
Okay, fine.
Winner takes
let's
it all.
It.
I mean, I've just basically handed myself a loss, but, you know, make it more exciting.
Yeah. I like
winner
it.
Winner takes
I like,
it all.
I like
okay,
that
you
style.
Ready?
Good on you, Lizzie.
Okay. Opposite of a salt hotel. Opposite might not be
okay.
Correct term. Not the... Yeah.
Georgie Pfeiffer? But, Pfeiffer, no?
No. That's, yes. Okay. You're leaning into the right direction there,
I
though.
I thought of Georgie.
You are.
Shall we hit that?
So, Salt Hotel. It's not the opposite of a hotel. Something comes with salt and then the second half is not a hotel. But if you were going on accommodation, you wanted to be a bit more outdoorsy, then you might stay at one of these sites. Say it, Orla.
Something camp.
Pepper camp.
So, Orla, say what you're saying.
Oh, pepper camp. Pepper camp. Pepper camp. Pepper camp. Her name's Orla. Pepper camp. Pepper camp.
What was that? I don't even know. Orla, you said pepper camp.
I did.
But just very quietly.
I did.
Many times. Esme.
I did.
Esme, pepper that's camp. A bloody name.
I
Esme.
I couldn't remember
Esme
first name of my problem.
But it's,
so my
it's
problem was...
It's for Pfefferkampf.
Yeah, but because I knew it wasn't quite right. So I was saying it quietly because I knew I was saying it wrong. And I knew that would give Lizzie the chance to then jump in and say it right. But
you said
I
it
was
about
on
seven times
pepper
camp
about
10
salt
times.
And sweet, salt and sugar, pepper.
Yes.
Pepper. Goethe and Schneller, the blimmin' pepper.
I said salt and pepper
so many times, and yet when you said salt and, I couldn't work out what came with it. How stupid can I be?
Esme Pepper Camp. So,
what does that leave us?
So, Orla, I think you've won the whole thing.
Really?
I didn't even realise that you've won, but I think you've won.
I feel like that's an undignified victory. I feel like Lizzie deserves that one.
Well,
shall I take it anyway?
I'll let you guys fight it
take
out
it,
between you.
Take it.
Shall we call that an honourable draw, Lizzie? Or is that just a bit pony? Is that a bit
just take
pony?
It.
I just got pony.
How about I re-gift? How about I do in the style of Christmas? I re-gift it and re-gift it back to you and then we both got it.
No, I think
oh,
you can take the
everyone...
win for 2022
okay,
and I'm going to come back stronger in 2023. I'm on the road to recovery.
That,
so.
I mean, that's what
Lovely.
Everyone really wants when
Lovely.
They want a victory is a re-gifted victory. That's what all of
oh,
the
like,
champions of the world are going for.
It's like the Tour of Norway where Marianne Vos had it and then suddenly she didn't have it and Audrey Cordon Rigaud was the winner, but she didn't
she
want to be the winner.
Happy.
And oh,
exactly.
Nobody knows what's going on.
So this is perfectly Christmas. It started out in good humour and it's descended into everyone hates each other.
Lovely.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
The only thing left
Merry
is
Christmas.
To get drunk. I'm off to get the liqueur chocolate. Merry Christmas. Thank you both so much.
Yes, let's get into the quality sheet now. Thank you very much, Orla.
Thank you.
I don't know whether you're the winner or not. I'm totally
We're all winners
lost now.
And we're all losers, let's be honest.
Oh, perfect. Yes. I think that's the
that's
most perfect
Christmas.
Thing. We're all losers. So Merry Christmas, my two losers, and Merry Christmas to all you losers listening. No, that's terrible. Merry Christmas, listeners.
Merry Christmas.
The Cycling Podcast was created in 2013 by Richard Moore, Daniel Freeb, and Lionel Burney.